and gentlemen, this is Hopped On Sports, your podcast for the beer-drinking sports fan.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 48 of Hopped On Sports. We've got a great show for you here tonight, a very eventful weekend of sports, so we have a lot to talk about. But before we get to all that, and before we talk about what beers we're going to be drinking here tonight, let me introduce my co-host, my buddy, Steven. Welcome, man.
What it do? Got a frog in my throat, man. Got a frog. I was not feeling too good this weekend. You can probably hear it a little bit, but hopefully this beer will wash things out and kill all the germs. What do you think?
I think that's how alcohol works. Yep. You know, alcohol kills germs. Yeah. I mean, I would say that works.
I sure hope so. I'm excited for this one today. It's one of my favorite beers. I have never had it on the podcast. I've talked about it on the podcast when we did our top five or top ten. I'm looking forward to it. But before we get to that, let's just say this was a crazy weekend in sports. We actually got to get out and play a round of golf at one of the tougher courses in Oklahoma, and Cherokee Hills. It is just such a fun course. If you're from here and you play golf and you haven't played it, you got to get out and try it. The front nine will eat your lunch. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. I mean, you talk to anyone who knows anything about golf, and they'll tell you how hard the front at Cherokee is. But yes, we had a this shows that we're from Oklahoma and how unpredictable Oklahoma weather is. You and I had to get out Sunday and golf because it was going to be close to 70 degrees, and we knew what was coming. And
oh, yeah.
Basically winter was coming, because today we're recording this on Monday. What is it? The
8th, 11th? You do realize you just said winter is coming, right?
Yeah. I mean, because if you look at what today is,
yeah,
it's 30 degrees outside right now.
Right. Significant flip overnight.
Like I said, 70s yesterday, essentially. And yeah, just complete flip. And that's Oklahoma for you. So we knew we had to really take advantage of the great weather this weekend. Got out, played a round of golf. Saturday was very eventful. I told everyone about it last podcast. That I did the McNelly's run, 4 miles, 3 beers. One of the tougher things I've done in my life. I'm not kidding, dude. It was so tough. My legs.
Was it tough just
because
you haven't run in so long, or was it tough keeping the beer down while you were running?
You know, honestly, it's probably more cardio shape than anything. I don't run particularly outside, for one, especially for a 4 mile period of time. Generally, I keep it 3 miles on an elliptical, things like that. Might run a little bit on a treadmill, but we're talking maybe 2 miles at the most. I was not prepared in that sense like I had intended, and I ran with a couple guys who'd been running, so our time was actually decent for chugging beer and what it was. It was like,
yeah,
it's like 9 minutes and 17 seconds a mile. 9 minutes and 37 seconds a mile.
Well, that's not fantastic, but it's decent, I'd say.
Yeah, well, for, like I said, for chugging beer and and for that, I don't know, I was impressed, actually, to be honest.
Did they have an official winner? Like, did the winner get a reward?
Yeah, so there was, they said there's cash prizes, and I never heard what the amount was, but
never even crossed your mind that
I knew I wasn't going to be in the money, so it didn't even matter. But it was very fun. Definitely going to do it next year. We'll definitely be prepared next year, but this was a great year to kind of see what it's like, how it worked. You ran 2 miles, you chugged a beer. You ran another mile, you chugged a beer. Then you ran another mile, and right there at the end of the finish line, there was a stand of beer that you chugged a beer, and then you finished the race.
Yeah.
And that's when the party all began.
So basically, this is one of those things that you say to yourself all year, okay, I'm going to be ready for this next year. I'm going to I'm going to be ready. And then that time comes and you're like, crap.
Well, it's like I had been planning for the last, you know, few weeks. I was like, I'll start running a little bit, just getting ready. One thing after another happened, wasn't getting out doing the cardio aspect of things. And yeah, all of a sudden it was like I had 2 days before the race. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go with it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, forget about it.
And yeah, almost died. So I'm very sore, but overall it was a great time. Had a lot of good drinks and got to experience an event I've been wanting to do for quite a while. So happy with that. And overall, just a really great weekend because there was so much going on in sports. Almost had a heart attack during the OU game, which we'll talk in a second. But I'm very, very happy with where we are at this point in the year and in the sports world. So is there anything before? Well, you know what? Let's go ahead. Let's introduce the beers real quick because I'm thirsty and like to have a drink here. So what?
Yeah, cool.
You said this is a beer you've talked about.
Yep.
It is a beer I enjoy as well. A lot of people, you know, probably honestly talk down on it. And I think it's low-key a sleeper. So tell us about what you're drinking.
I am drinking the official beer of Cool Runnings, Red Stripe. And, man, I just cannot get my voice together. But brewery came about in 1918. And I'm kind of glad it did because it's one of those beers. It was the very first legal beer I ever had. In fact, you bought it for me, I think, over at the casino. But since it's got a little bit of meaning to me in that sense, like it was my first legal beer, I've had some, and I really like it. To me, it's just a good beer. Red Stripe Lager Beer, brewed in Jamaica. 4.7% alcohol by volume. Comes in a pretty cool bottle. Unique. I mean, when you see it at the bar, you know it's a Red Stripe because there's just not many beers that come in a bottle this size. But yeah, I love it. Really do. And I'm looking forward to drinking it tonight. So nice. What about you?
I've got Anthem OK Pills tonight. So we've talked about Anthem before. Definitely going to take you there when we go down there to Oklahoma City. But, I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's a milk American Pilsner. So, I mean, it is what it is. It checks in at 5.5%. But it is something I like to enjoy. And, you know, you can have, you know, a few of them and, you know, not get too tired of it.
I mean, it's just prettied up Budweiser, right?
Essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially. So good beers will definitely get us through the show.
Yes, sir.
I did want to mention before I forgot, tomorrow is the day, man. So
technically today is the day.
No,
it's Veterans Day.
No,
it's Veterans Day today. So
give a shout out.
Go with our Veterans Day segment, I suppose, that we didn't plan.
Right. Well, let's give a shout out to all the veterans who listen to us out there. We do want to say thank you for your service and everything you've done for us. Because of you, we're able to be idiots and get on this podcast and talk beer and sports. So we definitely appreciate that. And I want to say thank you. So
100%. Thank you.
I guess this beer is for you, and we'll cheers to that right there. So,
ooh, yeah, good stuff.
Good. Anyway, tomorrow, the day. My buddy Taylor, I've talked about before, him and his wife, they just had a baby this weekend. Super excited because I am going to get to meet her tomorrow, and we are popping the tops on the 120-minute IPAs. So very excited to have that, get to meet her and have a great beer. So really, really excited to see how that tastes and how it comes out. So Thursday's show will definitely let everyone know how that turned out since I've been aging it for so long. So
cool. Well, let us know on Thursday. Until then, I think we've got some sports to talk.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, let's just get this out of the way now. Had a great Saturday, had the pub run, had a few beverages, and was expecting to go home, be able to relax, watch the OU game, kind of come down from everything, and that didn't happen. OU came out strong, played a really pretty good first half, and then got kind of sloppy there at the end, and I have to put some of this on the coaching because the play calling is getting more and more conservative once they build a decent lead, and it continues to come back and bite OU. Now, Lincoln Riley is obviously not planning on turnovers. There were two turnovers in the fourth quarter that you're not expecting to take place, but they did happen. OU didn't score in the fourth quarter. Iowa State did, came back, scores a late touchdown with less than a minute left, and decides to go for two and ultimately possibly the win, you know. Absolutely the right call. Are you okay with the call there, going for two instead of the tie in overtime?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're at a team that's better than you. You're at their house. You don't know how overtime will go. You don't even know for sure if you'll make the extra point. I mean, it's pretty much guaranteed. But in the same situation that Mac Brown and North Carolina were in earlier this year at Clemson, I supported him. I 100% support that decision because you don't want to go into overtime in an away stadium and a top 10 ranked team. It's just they're going to win. You know, I mean, you can't guarantee it, but I'd say a good percent chance you're at the big time disadvantage. So, I think it's the right call. One play, win the game or lose.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete Carroll knows all about it, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. However, they did not have Marshawn Lynch. So in this sense, they had to pass for sure, and that's what they did. End up being a pretty ugly throw, and OU ends up intercepting the ball and winning the game. Of course, I was holding my breath until the onside kick was over. Was not going to deal with that, but OU wins the game, squeaks by. Could have been an absolutely just devastating loss, man. If OU loses that game, I don't know how I come back from it. I think that's the final nail in my coffin because it was so unexpected. OU was up by, I believe, 21 points at one time.
Yep.
It was just one of those games. Like I said, I just was never worried about it. Then all of a sudden, that fourth quarter, it just kind of started going against OU. And all of a sudden, I was like, are we about to mess around and lose this game? And almost did. So got the win. This time of year, win's a win. November, you know, they call it Championship November. You got to absolutely grind for everything, get a win, and that's what they did. So I was happy to see that. And, you know, ultimately, this next weekend means a lot more now that one loss Oklahoma going to undefeated Baylor, which we will really preview next episode. It is game day. They've already announced that. So a lot is on the line come this weekend. But
yeah, and I mean, of course, our pick'ems, we don't have to remind you that we both took OU. I really, really struggled with that, if you do remember that. I wanted to choose Iowa State the whole time. I kept almost changing my mind, and then I ended up just going with OU. And I mean, this is why I was struggling with it. And I mean, OU sucks at covering spreads.
They do.
They are so bad at
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I know this. I've said this from day one on this show when we talked about this. However, OU did exactly what I thought they would do, is get on them early, get up on them. And I thought this was kind of going to be like a statement type win. They're really going to stick it to Iowa State and end up winning this by what was 14.5 point spread. But they did it, and no surprise there. But what was a surprise was the rest of my picks. And ultimately, I do have to give you some props because we should have probably talked about this first, which was Friday night's game, UCF-TU, 17 points UCF was favorited by.
Yeah, so
not only did they not cover that, but TU won.
Yeah, and let me say this. TU was messing around and trying to give that game to UCF. They had a great opportunity to make a field goal, and they miss, and then they come back down and they did make the field goal. But they really were messing around and trying to give that game to UCF, which you remember the game that they had earlier this year. They had the team SMU up. They had them down 21-0. And then they blew it, and I was thinking, don't do it again. Don't
same
do it again.
Same against Memphis.
Memphis? Okay. Yeah, maybe it was Memphis I was thinking of. I thought it was SMU.
No, both of them is what I'm saying. It was SMU. You were right on that. And then they had the field goal to beat Memphis and missed it.
Yeah, they've just been a bubble team for 5 years. Like, and what I mean by bubble, it's not like they're on the bubble of being a like a top 25 team, but they're on the bubble of winning every game they've played, similar to how Texas was, as they just were so close in every game, but they could not win.
Right.
And they've lost two coaches because of it, and I hate it, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you got to win the game. And they clutched it against UCF, and I think going forward, I'm hoping that they can clutch some games and have better than a 3-7 record. So
yeah. I would argue the other way. I would say that it was UCF messing around trying to lose a game to TU, because
yeah, I would agree too.
I never thought that TU was actually going to win that game. I was proud of them for being in that game, but all of a sudden they'd make a huge stop on defense because their defense played really well, and then their offense wouldn't do anything. And I mean, just absolutely nothing. Their quarterback, which they're on a new quarterback. And he's just, you know, absolutely struggle bus. And they basically had to run the football, and you knew UCF knew that was going to happen. And so just nothing was going on offense. And I was like, dang it, dude. You know, TU's going to hang around in this game because of their defense, but their offense isn't going to be able to make a play. Suddenly, they do make a play, end up getting that touchdown, and ultimately getting to hold off UCF and end up winning with a penalty, which is crazy.
Right.
12 men on the field. UCF makes a huge stop on fourth down.
Yeah.
And 12 men on the field. That's a tough, tough way to lose a ball game. So,
yep.
But proud of TU, man. And you called that. So good call on that, because I had UCF. I thought TU would probably get blown out the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it was at home and it was cold. I think that the temperature had a lot to do with bringing those Florida boys up to Oklahoma. It wasn't freezing, but it was uncomfortably chilly.
Yeah, it was getting chilly. It was pretty windy. So, but yeah, good call on that. The game I actually probably got to watch the most of outside of the OU game was the Penn State-Minnesota game. And this game was really entertaining because Minnesota came out and they had the crowd all into this game. From the very get-go. And Minnesota, I mean, punched Penn State, and they just kept doing it over and over again. And all of a sudden, I wasn't even worried about the coverage anymore of whether Penn State was going to cover or not. It was more about, was Penn State even going to be able to get back in this game at all? Because Minnesota just kept fighting and kept fighting, end up knocking off Penn State, which... good for the Gophers, man. Big win there, because it was very entertaining.
Yeah, no, I do agree. That was one that I watched a little bit of throughout the game. Didn't watch every play, but for the most part, I watched all the games, with the exception of that one. LSU-Bama, what a game. What a game. I enjoyed that one from start to finish. I was pulling for LSU. I like them as a dog in the fight this year. I've kind of said all year that I think Ohio State's the best team and LSU's right there behind them. I think I would have started the year saying that I thought Clemson was, but watching them play quickly changed my mind. They just haven't had the strength that I thought they would, but LSU, I think, is just as deserving a first place spot as Ohio State is, but I'm glad they're 1-2. So I think that this is going to be a fun playoffs, and it'll be interesting to see who gets that fourth spot.
I only got to watch the second half because of the run, but after watching the game, I looked to my buddy and I said, LSU is going to be national champions after this year. They're that good. They just beat a really good Alabama team. Tua tried everything he could to get Alabama back in this game. Big touchdown there at the end. Went for tried to get the onside kick. Didn't get it. LSU wins this game. And man, Jordan Burroughs, he's your Heisman, and it's not even close.
He's a stud.
Not even close, man. I'm telling you.
I was watching the game with some guys, and one of them goes, apparently he hasn't watched much LSU football this year because Burroughs ran and he got tackled after like a 2-yard run, and he goes, man, this quarterback just can't run worth anything. Said, you are a fool. You are an absolute fool.
I was just talking to someone today about it. I said, you got to watch Burroughs, man. He's athletic. He can run a little bit. He had 64 yards rushing in this game. 31 for 39, 393 yards, 3 touchdowns. You're gonna win a lot of games with those kind of stats.
Phenomenal,
especially
numbers.
Against Alabama. So, very like you said, very good game. And I think Burrow's wrapped up the Heisman. LSU is going to be in the playoff. They've got literally Ole Miss, Arkansas, and A&M left. So they've got a pretty cupcake schedule left to finish this year.
Did you see this catch that Hunt had for TCU? You've got to see it if you haven't seen it. Watch this. Catches the ball, turns, boom, gets his hand down, touchdown. Did you see that in the game?
No, I haven't.
So they showed it from this angle right so
that,
here, which
okay,
is looking toward...
that was a catch in overtime, okay.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Well, okay. So they are showing the game from this angle, like from the 50, and nobody could tell he caught it. And I thought in my head, that looked pretty close. Looked like he might have got his hand down. And that's just a play you never see. You just don't see a catch with the hand being the only thing that comes down. And if you guys haven't seen it, go watch. I don't even know how to say his name. TeVaylence Hunt. Very, very talented catch. I would say that alone probably caught the eyes of some scouts.
Now, another catch that I saw was in the LSU game, which I had no idea. Randy Moss's son is on LSU.
Isn't that crazy?
I probably heard that somewhere a while back, did not ever even think about it, and then he makes this fantastic catch. His foot was out of bounds before, and then he came back in and made the catch.
Yep.
So I believe it shouldn't have counted, but ultimately, what a catch, man. Especially in that situation.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Big time play.
Yeah, well, he's got ginormous shoes to fill, so.
Yeah, I'd say so. Now, let me mention the Baylor and TCU game. I did get to watch some of that, too. I was really nervous because I thought Baylor was going to be the team that blew it. And for OU Baylor game this weekend, thinking, oh, man, Baylor loses. It kind of takes a little bit of the life out of the game. And then ultimately, the OU game did the exact same thing. So, but both teams won, and I'm all happy there. But Iowa Wisconsin was our other game. Didn't get to watch a single snap of this game. I'm sure it was very Big Ten football because we've seen the score. Wisconsin ends up not covering, and they win by 2 over Iowa here. I would have liked to seen a little bit of it just because Iowa, I'd like to see how good they are, at playing like a Wisconsin and stuff like that. Very, very interesting to kind of see how that all played out. But just from the highlights that I got to see, it didn't really tell me much. But overall, great, great weekend. Is there anything that we didn't touch on from college that you wanted to point out?
Not particularly. I mean, we touched on the games. I think we typically try to choose the games that we want to talk about in general, but there were some other games that were decent. But I think for the most part, we covered everything big.
Yeah, I would say so. I will say this. I was disappointed because Kansas State ends up losing to Texas.
Yeah.
I thought Kansas State would definitely have won that game. I thought it the whole time. In fact, someone actually told me Kansas State won, and I was happy because I was like, good.
Well, they almost did, and then all of a sudden Texas made a roll.
Yeah. Well, I was just really counting on Kansas State winning out and OU being able to play them in the Big 12 championship. But now Baylor falls out of that Kansas State falls out of that conversation, and now it's looking like Baylor, Texas, and OU are going to be the three teams fighting it out. And hey,
Oklahoma State's still in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. They need a couple things to go.
Yeah.
Basically, they need OU to lose to Baylor, and then they have to beat. They have to beat Oklahoma.
Well, they need Baylor to lose to Oklahoma and one more. I can't remember which team.
No, they need OU to lose to Baylor.
Yes, they need. Okay, they need OU to lose two more games. I can't remember which two, but it's Baylor and one more.
Them. If they beat OU. And then they'll be in if they lose to Baylor. So, need a few things to go their way. But two games, I'd be blown away. I'd be probably just shut down the podcast if OU lost two more games. But
yeah.
We'll have to keep an eye, because that's what all November is all about, man, is all the ups and downs. So
yeah. So, I guess you know what happened in the NASCAR circuit this weekend.
We got to watch the end of the race together at the golf course. So yeah, tell them about that, because that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the highlights. Of course, I don't have DVR right now, so it sucks having to miss some things when I decide to go golf. Well, Joey got cut, and you guys know Joey's my driver, but unfortunately, Denny Hamlin was in a must-win situation towards the end of the race and got a checker. I mean, he got a caution that came out with like 8 laps to go, which was just the absolute worst thing that could have happened for him. And then he ends up going on ahead and winning the race, which just, Preston, would you turn that crap off?
I'm trying. That's a problem.
I'm trying to talk over here, man. Denny goes on and wins the race. Joey gets cut, and we just officially have the worst ever Final Four. The only thing that could make it worse is if Kyle... Well, I do like Kyle Busch, so I don't mind it. I'm definitely pulling for him next week in Homestead. Truex, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch move on. They're the 4 drivers racing for the championship next week in Miami. If Denny Hamlin does not wreck, I'm going to break my TV, and I just pray that Joey or Blaney or Keselowski take him out, and anybody else wins after that, I'm fine with it. I don't like Harvick. I don't care if you guys like Harvick. I don't care if you don't care about my opinion. I'm telling you, I don't like that guy. He's my least favorite of the 4, but I would rather him win this year than... Ooh, look at that. You remember that? I would rather him win this year than Denny Hamlin, for sure. So, that's NASCAR.
It was a great, very...
crazy ending.
Crazy ending. Very fun to watch. You were extremely into it, so... It kind of got me excited into it just to see, because, I mean, we knew it all, you know, it all came down to those last 3 laps. So, very entertaining.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know how much I love NASCAR. It's, I honestly enjoy it more than college football. So, broke me in half when Logano got, he didn't get through, which sucked. I just went to the next green on the par 3 and just like 9 putted because I didn't care about the round of golf anymore.
Anything else you watch this weekend?
I don't know. That was a long time ago. I watched all the college football. I watched a lot of NFL, of course. Not a ton, but I watched plenty, and then no baseball, which was kind of nice. Didn't watch any hockey. I've still got to catch up on my hockey, man. It's driving me nuts. I feel like I'm out of time every day for everything. But the hockey's coming. So
best game of the weekend literally might be tonight. You know, we're recording this Monday night.
Oh, big time.
Seahawks 49ers tonight. Going to be really entertaining. Probably going to have to put that on to check out.
I'll 100% be playing Call of Duty and watching the Seahawks tonight. Right here. I'll be sitting right here. Have them both going.
I will tell you right now, the most exciting thing, at least in the NFL this weekend, that I saw, did you see the formation the Ravens had this weekend?
Maybe. I'll say maybe. Is it when Lamar went crazy on a weird play?
No, so he had the spin move and all that. No, so just it wasn't even, it was like a 10, 11 yard gain. Nothing crazy as far as that goes. But the formation.
Did they just line up like in a T?
The formation lined
just
up
talk.
With Mark Ingram, Robert Griffin, and Lamar Jackson.
What?
3 Heisman winners.
Okay.
They fake the ball to Ingram, and then they run out on a. On an option play and pitch the ball to Griffin, who then runs and finishes for like a 12-yard gain.
Really? I'm gonna watch it because I did not see that.
So real time, Steven watching this for the first time. They called it the Heisman formation.
The Heisman formation. That's so funny, though.
I mean, 3 Heisman, dude. Like, how many times can you say, you know, 3 Heismans are in the backfield?
Yeah. All right, we're going to welcome our friend Jordan onto the show real quick. Welcome to the show, Jordan. How you doing? You're live.
Put me on the pod!
You bet. You bet. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Good. Who's winning tonight, the Seahawks or the 49ers?
You know, as much as I would like to see the 49ers win, I have to give it to the Seahawks.
I'm with you 100%. We hadn't quite gotten there yet, but I'm with you. I think that the Seahawks are almost certainly going to win this game. It's too big for them. What do you think, Preston?
I would have to say the same. Oh, wait. You asked for Preston.
It's all good, Jordan. Let me ask you a question. Did you see the formation the Ravens lined up in this weekend with Lamar Jackson, Robert Griffin, and Mark Ingram?
You know, I thought that was pretty interesting. I was scratching my head at first, but I can see how it can work.
You know, they're calling it the Heisman formation because you got three Heisman Trophy winners in the backfield.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it because this video is actually not playing it, but just my phone won't stop. Jordan, what was your favorite game from the weekend?
From the weekend?
NFL or NCAA?
Well, I'm a Cowboys fan, and although that we lost, I always gotta represent for my Cowboys.
Yep.
I don't agree with fair catch call, but you know.
Man, that was tough. That was real tough. Did you watch that, Preston?
I didn't get to see it. No.
So he fair catches the ball. Who was that, Jordan? I don't remember.
I don't even care. So I just don't
agree. there's like 16 seconds left, something like that.
Exactly.
Coaches obviously told him fair catch the ball. So he fair catches the ball with like 15 yards open in front of him.
Oof.
And I mean, every Cowboys fan is watching this game just punching their TV because, I mean, you can at least advance the ball probably 15 yards, maybe even get a return depending on how things go.
How much time are you saying? Like 16 seconds?
A little less than 20 seconds.
So, you know, they're trying to play out whether the time or the yardage means more in that situation.
Right. Well, it makes sense. If you don't want to risk losing the ball, so coaches say, hey, fair catch, or you're off the team, basically. So he fair catches it, and if there was ever an ideal situation to try and pick up some yards, that was it.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I can't agree with the call. But you know what? I'm going to ride with my boys. We're making it to the bowl this year.
We them boys.
You think they're going to make the playoffs?
I mean, we already have the Division One, so I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
Down.
That's a little debatable.
You know, I think we have it won. I mean, I know that we still have a little bit to prove, but I think we have.
Let's assume that you do make it to the playoffs. Are you able to get through the Packers?
No. But
well, thanks for being honest.
No, but you know, I'm always going to say yes. I always see. I'm very optimistic myself, and you know, I'm going to say yes. But I know that we can't. I mean, we're just we're the Cowboys are organized chaos.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else picks up on that, but we are organized chaos. We know how to put it together at times, but then all else is just we don't care. We don't know what we're doing.
Well, it's a mixture of trying to plan for things and dealing with suspensions and prison time. That just seems like it's been the Cowboys' luck the last couple years.
And that's the way we like to do things.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, we appreciate you coming on and being the first unofficial phone call guest. This is a complete accidental test, but it seems like it's worked out okay so far.
I'm just a phone call away.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime. Call in anytime. Monday at 5:30 to 6:30. You're always welcome. You have anything you want to plug? Anything you want to add?
Just hit my line, 918-607-1539.
I'm
John. News.
Ladies, he's taken.
But that's all I got. Once again, 918-607-1539.
We'll cut that.
That is awesome. So everybody call that number and tell Jordan how you feel about him. But Jordan, thanks for being on the show. We'll definitely have you on sometime soon.
Hey, no problem. Love you guys and continue grinding.
All right. Catch you later.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, awesome. Jordan Simmons, longtime friend, Division I athlete, kind of.
Division One trainer.
Division One trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. No, it's interesting. So he was saying they got the Division One. They are tied for first with the Eagles right now. Both 5-4. Going to be an exciting finish to that, to the year there. I mean, Giants are out of it. Washington's out of it. So, I mean, it's going to be those two teams grinding in the East. I do agree that once they get to the playoffs, I don't think they have a chance against the Packers. But all you got to do is get to the playoffs. You get to the playoffs, things happen. So just get there, be healthy, and let's go.
So you think the 49ers win tonight?
Oh, man. I know, like, your big take, 2 weeks ago was pretty wild.
Wild card. I think the 49ers are a wild card team.
I could see this being a reality check for them. I definitely could see 49ers getting taking their first L. It is at San Francisco.
It is. That's the one downfall for Seattle, but that's the only downfall.
Man, I'm going to go with the 49ers tonight. I think maybe Seattle gets them in Seattle, which is in just a few weeks.
Well, lucky for you, we don't count our NFL pick'em, so.
Yeah, well, probably. Then again, I went 1-5 this week in college, which is supposed to be my thing. So, maybe I need to take my run at some NFL games because, can't do any worse than that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to watching this game tonight because if what I'm saying is true, San Francisco's going to lose. And I'm not just saying tonight. I'm saying in general for the Seattle Seahawks to take over and take care of that division. They've got to win this game tonight.
I also am really looking forward to Josh Gordon and Russell Wilson tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting Gordon, who, I mean, the weird, weird situation. Patriots put him on IR like he's done for the year. And then all of a sudden Gordon's like, no, dude, I'm healthy. Like I had, took a couple weeks off, 2-3 weeks. And now he's back and he's playing for a new team. It's very weird deal because we've seen it. When Josh Gordon's healthy and he's playing, I mean, he's a really good talent. So,
yeah.
I hope it worked out for him with Russell Wilson and that they're able to have some success. It's weird to say that because I'm not a Seahawks fan in the slightest, but I don't know. Kind of got to cheer for guys like that. You're hoping that they can, make something happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the Seahawks, so hopefully they pull through and do that, but I just watched Baltimore's play, the Heisman formation for the first time, and that was quite the play. A lot of threats back there, but
how do you stop that? Yeah, I don't know.
Not necessarily how do you stop that. How do you just not expect something super fishy coming out of that?
Well, see, and I mean, you've got two plays there. They could literally hand the ball off to Ingram going up the middle.
They could hand it off.
If it's there. Or you just keep it and run it outside, and then you've got to either tackle Lamar Jackson or Robert Griffin in open space.
Yeah, but here's the thing is you almost certainly can think this ball's staying on the ground. When you start to think fishy,
it's a run play, though. It's just where it's going to be run to, and are you going to be able to stop those guys on the outside if they get there?
You think we've got two guys that can really throw the ball here, so possibly an option pass, which might be why they didn't rush. That honestly might be why they didn't rush. But what did they? They rushed one person, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But we're also talking about the Bengals, just the absolute
worst team
in the NFL. And I never thought I would say that over Miami this year. But I think the most interesting thing about this play is that they were so committed to getting the ball to Griffin that Lamar Jackson has already got the first down. And he throws the ball backwards, obviously an option, but he gives up the first down to get the ball to to Robert Griffin, who ends up with the first down, but risky. I mean, why not just slide? You've already got the first down. I think they were just playing and having fun at that point.
No, it was good, and they absolutely waxed Cincinnati. So yeah, they were able to kind of do what they wanted with them.
I think it's fair to say that they are an absolute Super Bowl contender. I mean, they're I think they're playing good. Yeah. I don't like to think it, but I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I do. I'm not convinced with anybody in the AFC really besides the Patriots. Chiefs end up coming back. Mahomes yesterday, all that. They end up losing. You know, it's just like they're a weird team right now
because this is four losses.
This is supposed to be their year, man. This is supposed to be the year that they make that jump. You know, and all that. And man, I don't know. I mean, the AFC to me is just it's very different than the NFC. I think all the Super Bowl champion will be from the NFC this year.
You think?
I do.
I don't know that the Patriots are going to beat an NFC team this year. But the Chiefs have not been consistent enough for me this year. And granted, I know that Mahomes got hurt. But before then, they had some inconsistencies. So I like to think that the Packers are playing well enough to win. But every time I watch them play, I think, ugh, they could get beat by so-and-so or so-and-so.
But they keep winning. That's the important thing.
Yeah,
they
just win. I can almost certainly say the Cowboys aren't winning the Super Bowl. Sorry, Jordan. They can't beat the Packers, and I think the Packers pretty much are going to be in. But Seahawks, I think, are a sleeper in this year.
They are. I mean, they're talented. Talented. I just think there's too many teams in front of them that are just, I think, a little bit more – I have a little bit more talented –
but no Russell Wilson.
I know, but Drew Brees.
Yeah,
Saints. I mean, they're incredible.
Drew Brees is in my opinion one of the most underappreciated and underpraised athletes. Maybe not even in the NFL. I think that he's got Super Bowl, but he just doesn't. He gets a little talk, but not near what I think he should. I think he's one of the best leaders in sports. I think that undoubtedly, statistically, he's one of the best quarterbacks that we've had in the last decade. Definitely right there with Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady being probably the best of the decade.
I saw a list the other day, had the top five leaders in sports. And Drew Brees wasn't on the list.
Wow.
And I just could not believe it. Who do you think they had number one? If you just had to take a random guess right now, I know that's a lot of pressure because we're talking
current all sports.
Current players, who is the number one leader in sports?
Who do I think they would say or who do I think it is?
Who do you, like in your opinion, if you could just take a quick guess.
If I had to say who do I think they would say, I would say LeBron. But I would doubt LeBron or Tom Brady. I think personally, I have to say either, if we're considering coaches too, I absolutely have to say Tom Brady or Coach Belichick.
Both those guys were on the list.
Okay.
The top five.
Okay, so they did put coaches in. Uh-huh. Okay, well, if we're including coaches and we don't have Coach K in the talk, then this list is absolutely not matter at all.
Yeah, I don't think Coach K was on there.
Because there's no doubt that he's one of the best leaders in sports.
I can't remember. He might have been. I can't remember. Anyway, Steph Curry was number one.
Wow, really? He's too quiet.
Yeah,
like I don't see what goes on too much off the court. But to me, I even see on that team is Draymond Green being more of a driving force of the leader of the, hey, let's go out there and do this. We got to get this done. Curry just goes out there and does it. Yeah. And everybody
he
else
just
kinda,
leads by his play.
He leads because he's a point guard, you know. But
I was blown away at that. In my opinion, that is just so, so wrong.
I mean, what, three rings in a short run? Is that right or two?
I think it's three.
Three. So three in a short run.
Yeah,
but
it's three.
Not, I mean, most of it, I would say a lot of it's due to his shooting, but not all of it. I mean, Tom Brady, I think, deserves that spot over Steph Curry.
He wasn't on there. I think Popovich was on there.
Tom Brady wasn't on it?
No, Tom Brady, Belichick, Curry, Popovich, and I want to say like LeBron.
Yeah, because as I was thinking, if we're putting coaches in and players, we've got to have Coach K, Coach Pop, Coach Belichick, probably LeBron, and then As much as I want to say Dirk, I don't think we can say that. But I mean, who would be that final spot? Who would be the guy that you get to put in the conversation with LeBron, Coach K?
Okay. It was not.
It wasn't Popovich.
It wasn't Popovich. It was Jose Altuve from Astros.
Okay.
No, dude's a baller.
I think that's fair.
He's a baller. What? No.
I think it's fair because here's the thing.
They're just trying to find someone in baseball.
Well, they're trying to keep baseball included. And who do you put in there? I mean, who do you put in there? What do you put, Bryce Harper? I mean,
you put him.
But he's a little firecracker, man. He's a driving force.
When I think of leaders, my instant thought isn't thinking of Jose Altuve.
I would agree, but I think that the MLB also doesn't get as much spotlight as a player like LeBron would get, so you automatically look at him like a leader.
The list was Steph Curry, LeBron, Belichick, Brady, Altuve. That was the top five.
That would not be my list. I think that you've got to separate coaches and players personally. If you want to take the major five sports and pick a player from each one, or if you just want to go overall, I don't know. I actually kind of think it's hard not to put Aaron Rodgers in the conversation. He does kind of have a crappy personality, but he knows how to lead his team.
Yeah.
I mean, and even honestly, more so than Rodgers, I would say Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger.
Brees would have been on my list. That was the guy I thought when I saw that list and didn't see him on it. I was like, wow,
but
that's a slap.
Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, like Roethlisberger is a leader. You know, I mean, he takes that team and he goes, hey, we're going to get this done. And he's got a Super Bowl. He's got his ring. So
yeah, he's got two.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I know you couldn't understand it. I said rings, but that's a hard list. Try to put a list like that together and not get criticized, because you could also try to put soccer players in there. And, you take one soccer player and then they're like, well, where are the other two good leaders in the MLS or the, you know, UEFA or whatever league you're watching?
Right. No, that's fair. I just had thought about it. I saw that the other day. And was like, man, we should probably talk about that, because I just could not believe Curry.
We could do that Curry or make our own. We could make our own lists. I think that'd be fun. I think we should do a coaching list, and then I think we should do a player list. And I think that would be. I think that'd be good. And then we could get people to submit their lists, because it'd be interesting to know overall what people think as a whole, not just individually by sport, but as a whole, all sports included. Who are the top five leaders in sports? Not based on championships, but based on just pure ability to lead. And a lot of times leadership will lead to a ring, but let's do that. Maybe next week we can come out with our list and we'll do that over the week.
That'd be cool. I like that. Speaking of leaders, Baker Mayfield.
Not a leader at all.
Absolute leader. If you actually believe that, I'd kill you.
I thought he was an absolute unit, is what you said before.
He is at times.
Shut up. He is a leader. I don't want to not be.
Documented. Not leader.
Okay.
Ends up getting the win this week, and didn't play great, but played well enough to get the job done. You know, they're playing the Bills. It's a team you're thinking, man, if you would have said that the Bills, which I guess they're decent. It's not like the old Bills. If it had been the Jets or something, it would have been a little bit of a different conversation. But ends up playing well enough to win this game. They get the job done. However, they've got an interesting schedule, and that's what I'm wanting to show you or to ask you about. To finish this year, because there's a lot of pressure for them to kind of get it going on this last little stretch. So in the next 3 weeks, they've got the Steelers twice. So this Thursday night.
The Browns do?
Yep. So
they're not winning either of those. Well, they might split.
So this Thursday night is Steelers-Browns in Cleveland, on the Thursday night game. Then they got the Dolphins. So you think, okay, you take the first game against the Steelers, then you got the Dolphins, which Dolphins are on a two-game winning streak. So they're not the pushover quite. In fact, they're 2-7, and the Browns are 3-6. So, just to kind of put things in perspective. But then they got the Steelers again. They got the Bengals, the much anticipated for me
Patriots, and
Sooner fans everywhere. Browns, Cardinals.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Baker versus Murray. That's going to be exciting. Then they're going to be sacrificed to the Ravens, second to last game of the week, the regular season.
First to last, but whatever.
And then Browns, Bengals again. So in the next, six games here, they've got the Bengals twice. Seven games. They got the Bengals twice. They've got the Steelers twice. They've got the Ravens, who could have already maybe clinched the division and first round bye and all that. So maybe they could be catching him right there.
Here's the problem they're going to face with the Steelers, and I know you're not done talking, but the Steelers' defense is on an absolute tear right now.
They are playing great. Man.
When in our fantasy league, I've got the Bears' defense for the last, I've had it the whole year, and I was looking, thinking I've got to get rid of them, and I saw the Steelers were available. I 100% picked them up. And what did they do yesterday against the Rams? They shut them down and got me 25 fantasy points. And I just don't know how a team like the Browns is going to go out there and shame up the Steelers defense as well as they're playing right now. And the good thing for the Steelers is they're keeping most of these players for at least 2 years. So the Steelers defense is solid and set and ready to play as long as they stay more injury free than they already are.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely playing well. That's for sure. And you've called it. You said the Steelers were still in the playoff hunt. And to be honest, they are. At this point, they are.
Yeah, they're positive. I mean, they're 5-4.
Yeah.
This win yesterday was ginormous for them. But moving forward, we'll see what happens with them.
We're looking at the standings here. And you've got Baltimore at 7-2, Pittsburgh at 5-4. So...
Yeah,
I mean,
they're going to be a wild card team if they get in. They're not going to make it straight.
They're not going to win the division, but yeah,
unless Lamar Jackson gets hurt,
that'd make things interesting for sure. But yeah, definitely in the talk. So I'll give you a little credit on that. Vikings showed that they were for real, beating the Cowboys last night.
I don't see it that way. I don't see the Cowboys as a threat to beat anybody this year. They've won some games.
I mean, they're leading. Yes, the division. But, I know the division's not great.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I give you that. But,
exactly.
But just, 3 games ago, everyone was freaking out about the Cowboys.
Well, 3 years ago, everybody was freaking out about the Cowboys. Everybody's been freaking out about the Cowboys since the last time they had their Super Bowl photos on my CD-ROM. On my floppy disk. You know what I mean? I think, first grade, second grade, last time they were Super Bowl champ. And they've got a huge history, so they've got a huge following. They're going to get talked up more than anybody other than maybe the Patriots. And until I see something done, and I've said this all year, I'm not sold on the Cowboys. I honestly don't even know if they'll be a wild card team this year. I just watching them play yesterday, they've got Ezekiel Elliott, who arguably is just the absolute best. Some people would say Kamara or Barkley, but...
He's not looking good right now.
Zeke isn't, but here's the problem. He still is. He is very, very, very good, but he can only do so much with what he's surrounded with. You know what I mean? And you watch that. You watch him run, and you go, he is running really strong, really strong, but it's just not working out. And, I mean, I'm not sold on him and his performances this year, and I don't think they're going to get much better, but I don't think it's because of him. That's a personal opinion. I would love to see him come to the Packers. I think that'd be great, but Aaron Jones, 3 touchdowns yesterday.
Leading the NFL in touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he's scoring 3 touchdowns every other week. It's just been phenomenal having him on my fantasy team, but Cowboys, I don't view beating the Cowboys as a beef up to improve yourself. I mean, the Vikings, yes, I think they're a decent team. I think they're a threat.
I don't think they're a threat to make any big noise, especially in the NFC. But I mean, they went on a primetime game last night and took care of business.
Yeah.
So I gotta give some props.
Credit, but nothing really gained in the sense of what you can expect from the team just because they beat the Cowboys.
Yeah. But, man, it's going to be an interesting finish. I'm actually am kind of excited for the to get to the playoffs for the NFL. But I just think there's a lot of talented teams right now, and you really don't know who's going to win it all. So I like that. I know we kind of jumped back and forth between NFL and NBA there, but I did want to mention a couple things about the NBA real quick. A, Thunder, not great still.
Well, but like I said,
but they're competitive.
They're going to be close a lot this year. They almost beat the Bucks.
Yeah, almost beat the Bucks last night. So, I mean, they're very scrappy, and they're going to hang in a lot of games. A lot of games are going to be right there. It will be exciting to see if they can put it all together and make a little bit of a run. But ultimately, I could see this team really just tugging on my heartstrings all year long in these close games, because I did get to watch a little bit of it last night. Still haven't got to sit down and watch all four quarters of a game yet, which is kind of crazy at this point. But
for which team?
For the Thunder.
Oh, no, I don't have any interest in it.
Well, that's...
It's just the NBA. I talked about how I was going to watch the Clippers and the Rockets. I haven't even done that. I've committed to college basketball instead, like I said. So, it'll change a little bit as the year goes on, but I'm checked out still. I got to warm back up to
it. It's just weird because, yeah, I'm so mentally into football right now that I just haven't really checked into anything else yet. I mean, really, neither one of us. I mean, your favorite sport is hockey, and you have even checked into hockey yet. So.
I'm pretty committed to football right now. I mean, but here's the thing. As I've got the NHL TV, I'm not going to miss any games, but I'm not also going to allow anybody to ruin games for me. Right. So there's been no hockey talk. There's been unfollowed pages on Instagram that I love because I don't want score updates. And starting tonight, I'm gonna knock out three Penguins games, and...
you got a busy night, man.
I do. But look how many screens I've got right here, and I've got another phone right there. I could knock out a lot. I got three screens sitting in front of me right now.
You're right. You're right.
And not including my phone.
Only other thing I wanted to really mention today, just because it still hurts to talk about baseball, but it had to be said. They did announce two awards today. AL and NL rookies of the year. No surprise in either one. Alvarez wins the AL from Houston, and Alonso wins for the Mets in the NL. So both guys that are going to be very have very bright futures. Alonso, man, the dude is an absolute stud. Sets the rookie record for most home runs in a year. And then Alvarez, until the playoffs, really, he looked like he was a freaking veteran all year long.
Yeah.
Very, very talented. So, excited that. I am excited to talk a little bit free agency once we get that all going, because I think there's going to be some really big moves going on in the MLB.
Yep.
But we're still a couple weeks out from that. But
where does Cole go?
Man, everyone's going to want him. Everyone's going to want to pay him. I really like that CC Sabathia was really pushing on him to go to the Yankees. So, I hope he goes to the Yankees. I definitely see it probably being an NL team, him going to back to the NL.
You know who I don't think it's going to be? The Cardinals.
Probably not.
We just don't buy talent, man. We bring it up.
You grow it, yeah.
And it's like good and bad, because everybody on the Cardinals would love to have him. It's just not how they do things.
Right.
I mean, it's been done. It just, for big money players like that, it just don't happen.
I would just love for freaking Strasburg and Cole to call each other up and be like, man,
Do you want to take this next team?
Let's just go to some team, you know, whoever it might be, whoever could afford those two contracts. Like, let's just go and let's go ball out and go win a championship together. Yeah, Strasburg just got it, won the MVP and all that for the World Series. But
just looked great. Went 5-0 in the playoffs and just absolute MVP candidate. And,
I mean, what and a year
good
to
for
get,
him for winning.
You know, he opts out. What a year to do that, because he is about to get paid. And same thing with Cole, man. Dominated all year long. I mean, he's – like I said, I like to say the Yankees, but I can see both those guys – one staying in the NL, one going to the NL, and just doing that. pitchers, big time pitchers, they want to stay in the NL.
What's crazy is, what was it, like 5 or 6 years ago, we were talking about Strasburg's career being over.
Because he couldn't stay healthy.
He got his surgery. And once you get that surgery, you just don't
Tommy
know.
Tommy John, yeah.
You just don't know. And then all of a sudden, he's just the GOAT. So
yeah. Well, Yankees aren't bringing back a couple guys. So
Are not.
Yeah. Who? Didi Gregorius, which hurts a little bit.
You can replace him.
Yeah. He's a fan favorite, plays a hell of a shortstop. But he's had some injury issues, and really when you need him to be that big left-handed bat, hasn't been able to maintain it the last, you know, when we needed him most, kind of. But I'm telling you, dude, he's a fan favorite, so people are like kind of been out of shape about it. But if that means getting Gerrit Cole or Strasburg or something, I mean, you got to go for it, man. Yeah. 'Cause
when you've got them, you don't need a shortstop.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
you can find guys to plug in there. And, I mean, Yankees aren't going to have a problem. Torres is a great shortstop. He'll fit right in there. So, be an issue there.
All right. Well, you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, man. I think that's it. Right. I mean, I'm really excited for this next weekend. Obviously, OU's giant game Saturday. So, Thursday show is going to be great because we got a lot to preview.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. I look forward to Thursdays now because it kind of gets me ready for the weekend. I start getting excited about thinking about these college football games.
And then you remember that you got to go to work in the morning.
Then you're like, I got to work on Friday. We don't all get Fridays off like CJ. So, some of us have to go 5 days a week. But, big show Thursday, so make sure you guys tune in and listen.
Special thanks to surprise special guest Jordan Simmons calling in today. Hopefully we can get him out here on the show sometime soon. We do have a couple interviews planned for you guys soon. Maybe we'll this is episode 48. Maybe we'll try to do one on episode 50.
That would be cool.
That'd be good. Thanks again, Jordan, for calling in. Appreciate you guys listening. If you would, leave us a review, iTunes, Google, wherever you're listening. Run over to Facebook, Instagram, like us at Hopped On Sports. We appreciate your support. You guys are the reason we're still able to do this. And have a great week. And cheers.
Cheers, guys.